This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, yesterday we talked about defensive end strength across the entirety of the NFL and where the Cowboys sit. By the way, Corey put something together for that, did the research. You can find it right now on 1053thefan.com, so go check that out. But that also led to a larger question of what is, maybe it's a player, maybe it's an individual unit, maybe it's whatever, what do you feel like the strength is for a Dallas Cowboys defense that, correct me if I'm wrong, gentlemen, but it does not feel like we have super high expectations for in 2020, do we?
Yeah, it's interesting because I asked you guys this yesterday during our pre-show meeting, and it was very quiet for about 2 minutes, and then Kevin said, I think depth, and I was like, oh no, this is a huge concern. And Mike, I'm interested to know what your thoughts are here, because Mike Nolan has a lot on his plate right now to change the entire defense into something different than their identity's been for the last 10 years.
Well, yes. Mike Nolan does have a lot. There's potential here. I will say this. Because, look, I'm going to get a little bit negative here. There's potential for the linebacking core to be as good as we hoped they would be going into last year. When people were writing Jalen Smith and Leighton Vander Esch are arguably the best linebacker combination in the NFL in 2019.
By the way, I believed that.
They were, you know, below average. And they have the potential maybe to get back to that standard. And there won't be as much pressure on them, because I don't think when we get to kind of training camp and articles coming out, I don't think anybody's going to write nationally that the Cowboys linebacking core is good. So they won't have the pressure of, we have to live up to an expectation, you know, maybe. I think that there's potential on the other side with Aldon Smith coming back and Randy Gregory. That's potential there. We have two veteran defensive tackles. There's potential there that they could be way better than what we saw up the middle last year. There's potential in Diggs that you drafted in the second round. So I think there's potential. That being said, I can't get my mind to the, we're going to be above average on the defensive line, or we're going to be a great linebacking core, or we're going to be above average in the secondary. So it's really tough for me, guys, to answer this question. The best answer I can give is, because there's veteran guys in Lawrence and Poe and McCoy, I'll go with that the defensive line is our best unit because of the success they've had in the NFL. Mm-hmm. But it's even tough. We talked about this yesterday, Corey. I still rank them, you know, as defensive ends, but I would still rank the defensive line as average at best in the NFL.
Yeah, our defensive ends were, and I think on the thing, I put them at 17 or 18 on my list on the website. So that's in the league. Just for the defensive ends, and I don't know how I feel about McCoy and Poe yet, because I haven't seen what they're going to be asked to do. If they're asked to keep hold up offensive linemen from getting to Jalen Smith and Leighton Vander Esch, I think they can do that all day. If they're asked to only go after the quarterback from the interior part, I think that McCoy can do that. I'm not sure about Poe with his injury from last year, how he's going to stand up, but I think that they are okay, and I think they potentially could be great. I think, Kevin, when we discussed this yesterday, I know what you meant by depth, because there are a lot of players. They signed a lot of players.
That's my answer, right?
but for me, I'm going to say cornerback, and I think by the end of the season, cornerback can be the strongest unit for this. Going into the season, I think there are a lot of question marks about it, but I think I'm very interested to see what it's going to look like whenever these guys are coached differently, because, you know, they all complained a little bit to other people about how Chris Richard's technique was coaching them. Everybody had a little, hey, we were told not to do this. We were told not to do that. You know, there were times when George Ioka said that he walked up to the line and they were like, hey, don't do that. And he was like, hold on, you don't want me to disguise this just a little bit? Trust me to go out there and be a guy that can do something like that. And I think that with the guys that they have right now, and if they give Jordan Lewis more opportunities to play than he had last year, I think this cornerback unit, not the entire secondary, because I don't have enough faith in Xavier Woods and whoever else they throw back there at safety. I don't have enough faith in them yet. But I think with this cornerback unit, you have the potential to turn the ball over far more than you did before. That being said, you don't have the reliability that you had with Byron Jones. So I also feel like there are going to be times when you look at this secondary and you're like, good God, they just got shredded on that play. How did that happen? But then there are going to be other moments where you're like, that's why, right there, because we were able to force that turnover.
From the 785, it's the backers. If they're all healthy, they're ripping heads off. And I go back to what Bassick said at the beginning of the segment, because I really did believe that. Like, and I thought the statistics were there to back it up. I thought you saw best version of Jalen Smith, and I thought it looked like LVE was a world beater that made me feel stupid for being angry that we didn't get Derwin James. And that's a big, it goes back to the lineup conversation we were just having with the Rangers. If this, then that. And that's a big if. But if both were healthy again, I could see the potential for that to be an elite level of the defense, because I'm not sure I see necessarily the potential for any other elite levels of the defense with a front line or with the secondary solid. And if you have two solid levels of your defense and an elite level, that's a badass defense right there. I just, unfortunately, the question, it still vexes me, because I'm like, I mean, we just need them to limp their way to average, right? And that's all we're hoping for. Like, honestly, I tell you that the Cowboys defense ends up being like straight in the middle in terms of yards, points, turnovers, all that stuff. They're 100% average in the NFL. You're good with that, right?
Yeah, if this team defense is an average defense, I do expect a lot out of the offense. So if they can just be average, I think that will lead the Cowboys to 10-plus wins.
Corey?
Yeah, because Mike McCarthy made it sound like he didn't really care what the defense did. He was going to go out there and put 35 on the board.
Is he going
night.
Kingsbury on this
Dude,
piece?
And you know what? That's what we want anyway, right? That's all we want is the 40 burger every week, right? We're team 40 burger, and it doesn't matter what your defense does. All you need your defense to do is occasionally make a stop so that you can get the ball back. Or you know what? Hell, if that's not the way it works, then we're just going to have to score every time they score too, and we hope we get the ball last. Like, I'm fine with that if that's the way you can do it and you can actually do it. But occasionally, there's going to have to be one guy that makes that play. I mean, that's why Tyrann Mathieu was so integral for what they were doing in Kansas City. That's why that defensive line, when they added Frank Clark, it was so important to what they were doing, him and Chris Jones. They were getting the pressure that they needed. And that pressure that the defense was able to apply just a little bit, just enough, was able to get the ball back to Kansas City to even apply more pressure offensively.
Can I ask you guys this question? It's to Corey, but Kevin, I want you to answer it too.
No.
I know I hear Jeff talk about 40 burger and Corey talk about 40 burger. Out of the 16 games, how many times will the Cowboys score 40 points?
20.
Thanks.
Twice.
Oh, really? You think only twice?
I mean, because 40 is an insane amount of points to score in an NFL game.
Yeah,
like, it really is.
I think maybe I'd like to go back and look at the Chiefs' schedule and see how many times they did it the last couple of seasons. But, Mike, you're right. How many times will they need to? You know, like,
three.
And when you get to a situation where you're in a shootout and you're just like, look, you know, we're up against – because the Rams and the Chiefs game, they didn't give a – nobody cared in that game. They were just like, all right, fine. Both sides,
sure,
we're just going to go all offense. And it was a blast to watch on that night. But how often in a season is that going to be necessary?
Look, I'm 100%
– especially if you're up 30, you know, 35 to 17, do you have to throw 40 on the board?
And to answer your question, the Chiefs scored 40 twice, exactly
okay.
twice,
and
against
see,
the Raiders and the Jags.
I think that term 40 is getting – thrown around like, oh yeah, like Luka every playoff game. Let's just put up 40 every playoff game. I think like you're asking an impossible number when you stay 40 something.
I will say I think at least one of those 40 games, Corey, that they'll need to, and I can't say 100% that they win. It kind of like I have echoes of that Broncos Peyton Romo game in my
awesome
head
game.
That they hit. That was an awesome game. Is that they hit 40 in one of those games and they don't 100% win it. So I think they can surpass 40 a couple of times. I think they can get to 30, though, a good 8 to 10 times, maybe?
I'm kind of curious a couple things, too. At what point in the week does Mike McCarthy go, guys, we're just going to have to outscore this team? This is going to be an offensive game. Or, you know, because maybe Mike Nolan's like,
you
hey,
have to watch
maybe
that.
He sees.
You can't. I'm just going to tell you from baseball perspective, because baseball is very similar, because you have pitchers and you have players. And on football, you have offensive players and defensive players. You can't go into a meeting and say, we're just going to have to outscore them, because half your team is like, here's two middle fingers because you're saying that we're a load of crap. And we might be. But you don't want to, as a coach, when you do stuff like that, the pitching coach has to talk to the pitchers privately and say, hey, you're going to have to put up a lot of zeros in this series because we're
but
not
that
going to
happens,
be able to
right?
hit. That does happen. But Mike McCarthy better watch, like, and he knows. It's not like he doesn't know this. Like, offensive coordinators, defensive coordinators, they can do that, but it has to be in private meetings. You can't tell the team, we're just going to have to outscore them, because then you're telling half your team, you're pathetic at this game, and we're going to have to make up for how bad you are at this game.
And, you know, it could be in the middle of a game, or first quarter, you're like, man, we didn't expect to come out flat at this. And so we got to do this. So maybe, you know, you push the pedal a little bit and then you get your offensive players, or you, as an offensive coach, you walk by your defense and say, hey, we're going to make it easy on you today, boys. Y'all just pin your ears back and go after them. And maybe that's it. Maybe the offense really does set the tone for this, but we expected the offense to do that last year. You know, once we saw what Michael Gallup was turning into, and once we saw what Amari Cooper really was, we were like, all right, dude, we got all the pieces in place. Let's go. And we saw a couple of games where the offense started going, and for some weird reason, it just stalled out on you. And they started doing everything differently. So that's Kevin, why I put so much faith in the coaching staff on both the offensive and defensive side, because I think there was a lot of lethargic personalities. Lethargy? Can I just say that? Amongst
okay.
the defense. Lethargy? Is that right?
Yeah, that's fine, too.
I felt like they were all – they didn't, I don't know. They just didn't like it. They didn't want to be there. And I felt like the on the offensive side, they got stymied a number of times by themselves.
So I wanted to throw this out there as a potential segment for tomorrow, because I love this text from the 817. I just want Van Der Esch to have a good career so the $100 jersey I got wasn't a waste.
Oh my God.
Would you like that segment? What jersey did you buy that was a mistake? Because
personalized.
Oh, man. All right. I think we could... I think we could do that. Now, Corey, you just said something potentially heartbreaking
yes.
in the chat that I feel like we have to talk about. The whole thing?
Yeah, and I saw this first from WFAA.
Are you sure it wasn't that liquor store owner in Kansas City that was breaking this story?
The State Fair of Texas website has flipped their calendar and says the next State Fair of Texas will be in 443 days, 22 hours, 59 minutes, and 37 seconds. Or actually, that's about 11 minutes old. But it has okay. State Fair of Texas has been canceled. They posted a picture that says, until we meet again, see y'all in 2021.
There is a story about it already up, if you need a legitimate news site, on KRLD.com. So, I mean, look, we got it all for you.
There's
the sports,
so many people, from what I understand, that make their living on just those 6 weeks.
You know what? I hadn't really thought about it from this perspective before, but I was reading an article about fireworks on Friday, and they said that, like, the big fireworks corporations that do, like, the big, like, the Macy's show and everything like that, they make 80% of their money off of just 4th of July weekend, and so much of it had gotten canceled, whereas the Alamo and the little drive-by shops and everything, their business had gone up 2 to 3 times from last year. Now, I'm not saying like people are going to set up a tilt-a-whirl like right down the street or whatever, but I'm not sure what's going to happen. I'm not sure if somebody would put up like a fried food fest of their own in October or whatever, but this sucks, man. It really does. Like, Corey, I know I just moved, but one of my I swear to you, one of my favorite drives was the drive home for a month. So in that September going into October period, because I lived essentially straight down 30, leaving downtown Dallas into Garland off of the Rockwall and kind of Rowlett area border. And so you knew come October, especially when we left and it was nighttime, is it would be dark, but that Ferris wheel would be lit up and it would always be cool. Every single day I drove by the Ferris wheel lit up on my way home. And this is like, most of us have lived in Texas and grown up in Texas our entire life. This is legitimately really sad.
This was my first year I was going to get to take Reggie to the state fair for his first time. I was really excited about that.
Now you can embrace that, Reggie, since you know you don't have to do it.
Kevin, I never liked it growing up. It always was real weird for me because I didn't like walking. But since I got married to Adrian, it was her thing. And I really started to look forward to it every year. I knew it costs like, you know, $150 to get the whole family to really enjoy it.
Oh, it doesn't cost that. It only costs tickets.
Okay. Yes, exactly, Mike.
That's how they trick you.
But I loved everything about it. And I'm going to really miss it this year. This really is hard news.
I think Fletcher's Corny Dog should start their own food truck. And then we can rent out a Fletcher's Corny Dog stand for like 3 hours, and then we can, go get our Fletcher's Corny Dog in September, October.
Man, I just thought, too, like, what a devastating shot to the Texas OU game as well. Like, that game was probably going to be different already, but that was part of the fun. It wasn't just the split down the middle. It was the atmosphere around it, and man.
Well, this might help it out, honestly. Because if they were going to have the State Fair of Texas and then have 100-something thousand people outside of the stadium, it might have been a little bit more difficult to pull it off, where if you're trying to keep the athletes in somewhat of a bubble, that now there will be nobody at the State Fair. I don't know, but I'm throwing that out there as maybe that would be easier since there would be no people on the fairgrounds. But it'll be a weird game if it's still played at the Cotton Bowl with no state fair and no fans.
You can find the story. It's already up on KaraLD.com. Corey bringing us the news. The State Fair of Texas officially canceled.
Way to go, Corey.
2020. Sorry. I mean, it's not his fault. It happened.
He was the messenger. So.
I mean, it is his fault. I know about
Screw
it.
Screw you, Corey.
Yeah. You and KaraLD.com. Thanks
Where's
for bringing
my
us
funnel
news.
Funnel cake and Fletcher's Corny Dog and that root beer stand is a good root beer
You know,
stand.
You could still get a funnel cake and corn dogs. Those haven't like been banished from existence.
I can't get Fletcher's.
It's a specific root beer.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.